Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
That's right. It's riot time once again. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larry M.
Coming back after a little bit of an extended period between broadcasts, Judah Larry M.
A little break.
A little break.
A little hiatus.
Was it hiatus or was it laziness?
It's high laziness.
High laziness? Is that like a haiku?
Yeah, it's like a haiku for like, hi, lazy. How are you? We're lazy bastards. We're not doing it this week.
All right. But we're back this week. Happy to be back. Judah Larry M., how you feeling?
I am feeling very spry.
Spry, sexually confident?
Very sexually confident. It's cold out, which just chills me up and gets me going.
Well, that shrinks the cock, doesn't it?
I wouldn't know.
How do you properly present for the ladies if it's cold outside?
Here's what you do.
What's that?
If you know it's coming.
Yeah.
You start thinking just filthy, dirty coming. Thoughts, and then you try to get it going.
And you plump up a little bit?
Yeah, that's it. And also, if you get to their house, here's a Judah Larry M's porn wisdom from the
hold on, let me get the appropriate mood setting music if you're going to give us some appropriate things of wisdom.
Oh, that's nice. All right. Yes. You know what you do? You're over.
Bring down the voice.
You're over at her house.
Oh, that's sexy.
You know where it's going.
I'm getting hard.
All right. You excuse yourself. You go to the bathroom.
I feel the cum bubbling in my testicles.
You find her hair dryer.
Oh.
And you shove it down your pants.
Oh.
You put it on the first level.
Ouch.
And that defrost the cock.
Oh. Really? You defrost your cock with a... Isn't that dangerous?
No.
What if you're sweaty or like...
No. Not at all.
Short circuit that shit.
Not when it's frozen to death like that. You just get that warm air blowing on it, and it just loosens it right up.
Oh.
And you get some dirty thoughts, and your heart is a rock before you know it.
Nice. Heart is a rock.
But you have to defrost because there is shrinkage, as they once said on a TV show.
All right, cut the music, Phil. Cut the music, Phil.
That's quite enough while John is moaning.
I'm going to start fingering my own asshole in a few seconds if you keep that up.
Yeah, as if you don't do that on a regular basis anyway.
Finger my booty hole. But anyway, yeah, so glad to be back this week. Hope you enjoyed Judah Larry M's little words of porn wisdom there for plumping up the old cock in this terrible weather, Judah Larry M.
Yes.
Around the country this weekend, did you catch the games?
Yes.
Were they fantastic or what?
I love it. Football, cold weather, snow.
Who's the little bitch that always complains about football in the snow? You always hear about it. Who is that? Is that Chris Collinsworth? Is he the little fruit that keeps complaining about cold
named
weather?
Roy. Yes.
But those were fantastic games.
They were awesome.
So what do we have? We had the Vikings and the Ravens. That was unbelievable. Was it like four touchdowns in 2.5 minutes? Back and forth?
Craziness.
And then that last second touchdown. Did you think he got both feet down in the back of the end zone?
No, I didn't.
I thought he didn't either, but they reviewed it like for so long.
Yeah.
Is that a home crowd decision?
Well, I was going to say it's either that or they approach it as, unless it's like incontrovertible, like that they can reverse it.
Right.
They just stick with the original
call. Because they called it a touchdown. Yeah.
So, no, I didn't like that.
And then you had that, what's that guy's name? Cordarrelle Patterson?
Cordell Patterson.
Cordell. Holy shit, what did he do? Take a 4-yard swing pass and go 79 in the snow?
Something like that.
Unbelievable.
That is awesome.
Unbelievable. So you had that game.
The Eagle game,
which the final score wasn't close. But when you consider the Eagles did all their damage in the second half, it was unbelievable.
Right.
And my boy LeSean McCoy, that you know I love in all my fantasy leagues, Shady. What'd he do? Like 211?
Yeah.
He just was busting off those runs.
Yeah, that's
unbelievable. Then we had the, what was that? The old Stanford College band play at the end of the Steelers and the
the 40 laterals and a.
How close was that? I think Antonio Brown's foot.
Just slightly out of bounds.
And I think he wasn't paying attention. He had plenty of room to scoot down the sideline, I thought.
Well, I obviously he thought he wasn't.
Yeah, I think he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
But what was it that? There was even an offensive lineman that got in on those laterals at the end. Did you notice that?
Yeah, number 77.
Seven, whoever that is. Yeah. But that was fantastic.
Yeah. Awesome.
Unbelievable. And then, of course, the what I would like to refer to as the fixed mafia game of the week, the Patriots and the Browns.
I was going
to
say, you must be talking about the New England game.
So, first of all, great game by the Browns.
Well, if they did fix it, thank you, because that was very exciting, even though I would prefer the Patriots lose.
But the Patriots scored 2 touchdowns in a minute and a half.
Unbelievable.
At the end of the game, against a good Cleveland defense, it's not like the Cleveland defense sucks. They have a good defense.
Oh, absolutely.
But what do you think of that call? I mean, it was a gift. What was it, 10 seconds left?
The pass interference?
Well, first, I'll set it up. So when the Patriots scored the touchdown to go from 26-14 to 26-21...
Right.
Who was it? Edelman caught the touchdown.
Right.
And the Browns got hit with a 15-yard unnecessary roughness penalty.
For
hitting him in the end zone. And did you think that was even a penalty?
No.
Okay. So that was the first, I thought, questionable call. That means that when they got the onside kick recovered, instead of starting out at their own 40, they started out on Cleveland's 40.
Right.
That's a big swing with no timeouts and, what was it, 35 seconds left or whatever it was?
It's pronounced Fody.
Fody, okay. But that was like a huge play. And then what was it, that bomb to the end zone with 10 seconds left?
And they called pass interference. Yeah, it's terrible.
That was a fixed game. As far as I'm concerned, that was a fixed game.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know but it's amazing how, like, you know, that the sports your argument. It is amazing how some teams just get these calls.
Yep.
Like, it started with the Tuck thing against the Raiders.
Yeah,
also, another wonderful snow game.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They just always get that.
Although,
break.
I will say,
wait a minute.
They got screwed on the Carolina call.
I was just about
call.
To say, didn't they get screwed? Because I saw them lose, and Tom Brady ran up to the referee as he was walking down the lane. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what happened. That was the end
of seen my wife?
But seriously, no, that was the one where one referee called pass interference on Luke Kuechly of the Panthers. Luke Kuechly. Whatever, he's got a fucked up name. Luke Kuechly, the middle linebacker, white guy, basically bear hugged Gronkowski in the back of the end zone.
Yes.
Now, if it wasn't pass interference, it was defensive holding, one or the other.
It had to be something. And they didn't give it to
him. And one guy called it. One of the refs.
Yeah, but it was overturned.
It was overturned, but the guy closest to the play called the penalty, and somebody came from across the field and overturned it.
Yeah, they overturned it.
I think that was a business decision.
Well, that was a... But you know what the problem is?
It was in Carolina.
Yeah, but they were going in and out of this rule now that if it's not catchable, that they just pick up
the
flag.
But that's bullshit, because the ball was behind him, so it was catchable. But the point was, he grabbed him before the pass was thrown, so that's defensive holding. There is no catchable aspect to it. But anyway, so whatever. So that's the only call I think they got screwed on. But yeah, that call in the end zone this past Sunday was absolutely
bullshit. That was
brutal.
I mean,
it was brutal. Browns fans, I feel for you, buddies. That was horrible.
Yeah.
But what a great set of games.
Awesome.
It was fantastic. And to my point, why are they bitching about a New York Super Bowl?
Because
they're worried
losers.
About the snow.
Yeah, they're pussies.
And I'm like, if you reproduced for the Super Bowl what we saw this Sunday in those snow games,
awesome.
It'd be awesome.
Actually, I'm predicting that it will be like a nice cold day, maybe snow, and everyone's going to wind up loving it.
Yeah.
And they're going to start reeling. They're playing all these pussy temperature-controlled games in domes in the South isn't the way to go.
Well, I'll tell you what.
People have to learn that lesson. Like, for instance, I'm going to 2 games in about a month at Yankee Stadium to see hockey.
Oh, the outdoor
hockey. And the outdoor hockey is phenomenal.
Mm.
And the first time they did it back in like 8 years ago, whatever the hell it was, and Pittsburgh played Buffalo.
Right.
In Buffalo.
Right.
At like Ralph...
what's that? The classic? What's that called?
Yeah, the Winter Classic.
The Winter Classic, yeah.
And the first time they did it, and the tickets, first off, sold out in like 10 minutes.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so... And they loved it so much, it's just become like this hit.
Yeah.
And like, I think, I honestly believe that they're going to play the Super Bowl here, and the people who complain, they're going to go, wow, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah, but you know where the real problem is? Is not the, even if the game turns out being good, it's going to be the money that they lose. That if it's bad weather, people aren't going to go out to the stadium, they're not going to, because it's like a week-long event, right?
Yeah, but they will go.
I think they will too. But
they've spent too much money not to go.
Right, but I also see the NFL's point that, you know, they want something where you have the outdoor activities, you have the fan fests, you have, even if people aren't going to the Super Bowl game, they could be in the Super Bowl city.
That stuff's gay.
Make the pilgrimage.
I don't respect that. I just don't.
Really?
Show up the day of the game, tailgate, eat. Get rid of the stupid halftime game.
Eat some fucking wings.
No, but get rid of the halftime.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, the halftime,
I don't get the halftime thing is stupid. If you want to have a long break, say, you know what? Look, it's the Super Bowl, and we're going to have a longer break than we normally have in a regular game.
Right.
Good. I don't want to see, like, Justin Timberlake, like, singing, grabbing his crotch. I don't need to see twerking. You know, it's football, you fucks. It's bad enough you're calling penalties that don't exist. Cunts.
All right. So, yeah, so interesting games this weekend. But moving on to some other stuff, let's talk about what the whole world is buzzing about this week, Judo Lariam. The infamous... Well, first of all, let's talk about an alleged world leader and Nobel Peace Prize winner passing away, Nelson Mandela.
Oh, I thought you meant Obama.
Yeah.
He won a Peace Prize.
Yeah, yeah.
10 days in office, he got a Peace Prize.
Yeah, yeah. But it wasn't him. It was Nelson Mandela at the ripe old age of 95, finally kicking off, as it were. Yeah. And let me ask you this. First of all, before we go into the rest of the nonsense, what's your take on Mandela?
My take on Mandela is that I never thought much of him.
Right.
I never cared about him.
Right.
He was in jail for being caught with explosives.
Right.
Which tells me what he's up to.
Well, let's be clear on that.
Yeah.
Most people assume he was in prison for 27 years as a political prisoner.
Yeah, he was a victim of just racist policies.
Which he's not. He wasn't. He got arrested and jailed, ladies and gentlemen, for conspiracy to blow up inhabited buildings. I mean, he was planning on blowing up women and children. He was a communist terrorist in South Africa.
Right.
He's admitted to this. I'm not making this up.
No,
he admitted to it.
He's never going
to
take a beating for it because it was his way of fighting apartheid.
Right.
Which the people who decide such matters at MSNBC and all these other retarded places, that what they have decided in their genius that that's acceptable.
Right.
Because that's such a horrible system.
Right.
So he was just fighting against
it. Right.
So, but my take on it is I never paid attention to him. I never cared.
Yeah.
It's nice that he forgave and he became a symbol of decency. All right, good.
Yeah,
that's all right.
See, I kind of agree with you. Largely, I agree with you. But here's my thing: when did this guy become a saint? Is my thing. Like, I agree, and I actually posted a couple of times this the past week. I was kind of torn, and at first, I didn't post anything specifically about Mandela because you know. Every black guy in America is up in arms about his death. I don't mean like violent up in arms. I mean they're very moved. To them, he's like a Martin Luther King symbol, basically, right? So, you know, there's this, for lack of a better term, ethnic pride. And I don't know if ethnic's the right word or not, but you have a lot of African Americans in this country who just view them as part of their own, obviously, one of their own. And but I don't know if people truly appreciate, like, I started getting a little tick when they were saying like how the Reagan administration was evil because they they didn't support Mandela.
Right.
And I finally took to Twitter and I took to Facebook, twitter.com/thatriotshow and facebook.com/thatriotshow.
Well done.
Thank you. And I said, wait a second. Here you have the Reagan administration that was involved in doing what, Judo Lariam? Ending the Cold War.
Yeah.
Why would they embrace a new communist regime in South Africa?
I know.
Why would they promote it? And again, this is not communist the way Obama's a communist. We're talking about a guy who, like you said, was arrested for plotting and blowing shit up and in prison. When he got out of prison, the ANC, the African National Congress, which was his political organization... Right. It has been documented, and under his wife at the time, Winnie Mandela, they would, like, kill their political opponents.
Oh, absolutely.
And what was their preferred? We were talking about it before the show. What was their preferred method of execution?
Yeah, it's that business of putting car tires around people and setting them on fire.
Right. So standing them up and right. almost like stacking tires so you would only see their head.
Yeah.
They'd pour gasoline on the tires and set them on fire with the people inside.
Yeah. They don't call them neckties.
No, no. Something. I don't remember. Like it's not a necktie.
But that's definitely what it is. And they killed a lot of their opposition.
Right.
And people who just flat out disagreed with the principles of the ANC.
And by the way, in other words, they acted just as ruthlessly as the apartheid government of Botha and de Klerk.
Right.
Right? So why does this guy get a pass? Now, to Larry's point, to some large extent, I don't give a fuck. He didn't mean that much to me.
Yeah. This is a meaningless individual in my world.
Right. For the most part, I don't give a shit. You know? Yeah. I mean... So I'm literally balancing his life, and I'm saying, all right, he overthrew a racist government? Good. He took on a communist government instead and became a communist tyrant and a communist dictator? He don't get points for that. Does he get points for running around the world saying Brother Fidel and working with the Soviets at the time?
Yeah, yeah.
But from an American point of view, fuck him.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all like part of my indifference to him.
Exactly.
I just don't care. And like most of the stuff that went on these, I didn't watch it.
No, I didn't either.
You know, like when I there was a, not this past Sunday, maybe the Sunday before or whenever, all the shows were doing
right.
If you went to 2, 4, 5, CNN, everybody
doing, but Fox.
Yeah. No, Fox was covering it too. But I, like as soon as they started doing it, I just put on the NFL Network.
Yeah.
Just say.
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I watched just enough of the preceding highlights to make fun of Obama because I thought he was so over the top. And I know it plays well worldwide and everything. But talking about that, did you hear his speech at the services?
Yes, I did.
God, was that a long-winded speech. Mm. What did he do, bring his own teleprompter with him to South Africa?
They're politicians.
Holy shit.
They're all fucking windbags.
And did you notice that he put on his black preacher voice for that? So he talked a lot like this.
And called him Matiba.
And Matiba. Like, we know what the fuck Matiba means.
Yeah.
Matiba was a great man.
Sounds like a fart by a ladybug.
Yeah, he was horrible. He was absolutely horrible in terms of his speech. Now, I know I'm a racist or whatever for thinking that, but fuck that. The point is, I thought it was a wasted speech and went on way too long. And I have to ask you a question, Trudeau Larry M.
Yes.
How much respect could have Obama have had for Matiba when he's there taking selfies with some hot blonde broad from from Denmark?
I'm sure Mandela would have appreciated that.
Well, you know, they love those white blondes with the big asses. They love that
shit.
They
do it, yeah. I saw the photo. She's sitting there and the husband's leaning in for
it. It wasn't the husband. You know who it was?
Oh, it was a boyfriend.
It was, no, the Prime Minister of England.
Oh, is that?
Cameron.
Oh, is that Cameron?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to admit,
he was trying to get in.
It was like her husband or something.
Yeah, he was getting in on that piece of ass action over there with her.
He leaned over.
Yeah,
and then like Obama, like kind of like that show Benson, like he stuck his head in like the butler, like to be funny. Like,
yeah, the selfie.
I think Matiba means Robert Guillaume in French.
That was the selfie heard around the world or whatever.
But as I told people, if there's two other people in the photo, it's not a selfie,
right? But you know what was interesting? It almost looked like she was trying to get him to like bang her or something. You know, it was like, hey, how about you take a picture with me? You're so hot and powerful.
You know what the most important
part
is? And
then there's that British douchebag like, what about me?
Yeah, he's like,
he was a cock blocker.
Yeah, he was cock blocking. Like, look at my teeth. But you know what the funniest part of it was? If you've seen the longer photo of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before we get to that. So I wanted to ask you before we go to the next one, which I know is good too. But just in general, aside from the goofiness of the selfie, the alleged selfie, did you think that was appropriate behavior? There's a lot of talk about whether it was appropriate for Obama to take that selfie.
No.
Like, in that sort of stadium and stuff.
No, it's totally tasteless.
Really?
That's tasteless. No, okay. You don't do that. Look, the guy's dead.
Yeah.
Whatever you thought of him, you heard a funeral.
Yeah.
You're honoring this guy's life. You don't take stupid photos. You're smiling again. It's inappropriate.
Now, in his defense, other people, obviously...
He doesn't know any better.
No. I was going to say, until his defense, there were other world leaders that posed for pictures
but
with each
wrong.
Other. And so,
yeah, but that's tasteless. Right. You don't do that. Let me give you the perfect example very quickly. About 4 years ago, maybe, I was over in Munich with a friend of ours, and we went to Dachau.
Yeah.
It's a concentration camp. Now, outside of the fact that this is the creepiest fucking place I've ever been in my life, there were people standing in front of, like, the guard towers, like, smiling and, like, posing.
Doing the shout-out pose.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, hey, man. They were like, yeah. They were like, look, I'm in a guard tower in a Nazi camp.
Cold lamping in the death tower or whatever.
They were crazy crackers, and they were offending the shit out of me. It was terrible. There were people, like, just a hop, skip, and a jump away. You have, like, the ovens where they kill people. You don't do that. They allow you to take photos if you want to take photos out of that you've been there and whatever, but you're not smiling and taking photos. You have to. There are people who don't understand, and
the significance of it.
Exactly. No, but but there is such a thing as appropriate and inappropriate behavior.
Right.
This is not the place for smiling photos.
Well, I think that's the one that kind of got me. Like, if it was just a picture where it was just the three of them somber taking a picture, I could live with it. But I think it was the fact that they were sort of very smiley about it, very collegiate about it. I don't know. Because maybe it just struck me as weird.
But the reason it's tasteless is because somebody's dead and you're there to honor them.
Right.
And you're doing something that is clearly, if you could get yourself to smile and be happy and be silly, that means the moment really doesn't mean anything to you. It means you're almost being silly.
Right.
Like, for instance, that I walk over the Brooklyn Bridge all the time for exercise.
Yeah.
One of the things I see every day is a million tourists taking photos all over the place with the Statue of Liberty in the background, the Empire State. That's okay. Good. Yeah. You're on the Brooklyn Bridge. Smile. That's stupid. Yeah. They jump up and down. They try to get, like, aerial photos of themselves. Right. Fine. But you're at a funeral.
Yeah.
You know, that's it's serious. You don't do things like that.
No, I kind of feel the way you do. But to your point, now, if you move beyond the whether the selfie itself was appropriate or not, we have to ask the question, what did Michelle think of the selfie? Michelle Obama.
She had a look on her face.
By the way, who, I don't know what, when people call her beautiful and radiant like that, I'm trying to understand who they're talking about.
I know.
She is the scariest first lady I've seen since Eleanor Roosevelt. She is horrible looking. I honestly don't think she's attractive at all. Not because she's black. I think, like, she has no breasts.
Now, that proves you're
a
racist.
She has a big ass.
Yeah.
You know, she looks muscular. She's just, to me, she's an unattractive woman. And did you see the fucking, like, laser beam death stare that she was giving him in those pictures?
Oh, absolutely. Well, there was one photo where she's just looking straight ahead. She's, like, not acknowledging the three of them.
Oh, and you know what she's thinking, right?
Angry look, like, when we get back to the suite or whatever, I'm like, I'm going to let you have it, Barry.
Yeah. At first, I was like, well, because it was really funny. When I saw those pictures, I saw them in sequence. So I saw the three of them taking the picture together. Then I saw the long shot, like you said, of Michelle with that death look on her face. And I'm saying to myself, is she the only one who has any decorum? Meaning, is she upset at him because this is a funeral service and you should be more respectful?
Well,
like, I mean, was she upset with him then? But of course, as soon as I saw the next series of pictures, that thought was kicked out of my mind because she made the President of the United States switch seats with her.
Oh, so she could get him
away from that blonde cunt in her mind. Because then she was sitting next to the Danish Prime Minister.
Yeah.
The hot blonde. And you could see Barry was like, uh-oh. Can you imagine what she said to her when she sat next to him? Because, listen, you blonde hoe, you better step off, bitch.
Yeah.
You can't have all the black men. Sisters got to hold some brothers for ourselves, you know.
Just you come along, just because you're white, you got to be right. I don't want to be hearing your shit.
You saw that at that point, she had the "oh no, you didn't" face on. Did you notice that?
No, but she was mad at him, though. She wasn't mad at this woman.
Listen, she wasn't. Why would she make him switch seats then?
Well, that was to make him realize that
embarrass
she wasn't.
Him.
Well, yeah, but him.
Yeah.
It's directed at him. It's not directed at the Dutch woman.
Yeah, I mean, we're joking. Yeah.
Clearly, it was an attempt to let him know. She didn't like it.
Yeah.
And she figured if I wedge myself in there, he's not completely stupid. He's going to get the point that I'm not happy with this. And he'll sit up straight and behave himself. But and then he did it.
How embarrassing is that to the U.S. president, though? Like, it shows he's a cuckold husband. Honestly, I'm not joking. I think, to me, that's a sign of weakness.
Oh, What's he gonna do?
I don't give a shit if he was finger banging that Danish broad right next to him. Why would his wife get up and embarrass him like that?
Well, if he did that, I'd sign up for Obamacare. But
she wasn't a bad looking broad. I can't emphasize that enough.
She's all right.
And she's probably got the jungle fever because she's from Denmark and they have that socialist thing going over there.
For all I know, Michelle Obama's trying to get closer to David Cameron. Speaking of jungle fever.
Yeah, right? But what a weird situation that was over there with, just between that whole dynamic. I thought it was really weird. Yeah. Really, really weird.
But again, you know, I'm sure she had to tell him, like, look, you know, you're at a serious thing.
Yeah.
You made a 45-minute boring speech.
Yeah.
You're doing your Matiba
bullshit.
Fucking do the right thing bullshit. And like, and then you sit there taking selfies and smiling with white chicks.
Fuck that. You know, yeah, fuck that. Yeah. That's but literally also, fuck that
Look,
noise.
I know you don't like her, but I actually think she does have more decorum and more sense than he does.
Oh, decorum-wise, I don't disagree really with you.
I think she realized immediately this isn't appropriate.
It's not appropriate. Plus, look, I'm not putting it past her that she may have just been a little jealous or embarrassed herself.
I don't think jealous.
Maybe embarrassed? Yes. You think he embarrassed her?
Yeah, I do. I think she was looking at him going, like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
Because I think, like, I mean, like myself, I think she realizes this is just, you don't do this right.
Right.
Now.
Right.
You know, you're not at one of the G20 meetings where every idiot leader wants to take a photo with you. You know, the Super Bowl champions aren't coming for a visit. You get the smile and they give you a jersey with your name on it.
You're right. But also, the subtext of this that I found interesting was, okay, so he feels the need to be present, not the vice president being there. The president of the United States needed to go to Mandela's services. I get it. Personally, he's a hero of his, right? Two black men, world leaders on the stage. I get it. But why did he refuse to go to Margaret Thatcher's funeral?
Because he's a racist.
He's a racist fuck, right? No. Here, Margaret Thatcher, there's no doubt where her allegiance was during her administration.
She's white. She's English. She's a right winger. He's not going to go to her funeral. I mean,
it would be the same form of decorum.
I mean, he should. I think that would have been appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, God knows he went to the Middle East for somebody else's.
Right.
Who kicked the can.
And that's what I'm trying to say. I think it more clearly defines for all you MSNBC acolytes and leftists that accuse us of being teabaggers or whatever, when we call the president a socialist and a communist, look at what he did at this fucking service. First of all, he's at a communist leader's service. That's the first thing. But he passed up on Margaret Thatcher. And then when he's at the fucking place, he ended up shaking hands with Raul Castro.
Yeah.
Now, what do you make of that handshake? Because there's been a lot of analysis back and forth on that handshake.
I'm going to have to disappoint my fellow right-wingers.
What's
on this
that?
One. I think that's a lot to do about nothing.
Okay, fair enough.
It's a line. Mm-hmm. You're going down, you're shaking people's hands. It doesn't mean shit.
Would Reagan have shaked his hand?
Maybe. I mean, you know,
Fidel Castro, right?
Yeah. It's a tough situation where you're just going down a line and people there. You know, I saw Dana Perino on The Five the other day on Fox, and she was saying that when she was in the Bush administration, that Bush had to go to something in South America, and that stupid Chavez, Hugo Chavez, was like running around like crazy trying to get a photo with Bush,
right?
So he could use it for like propaganda purposes.
Right, right,
and she goes, and the Secret Service did everything they could, like physically block him from getting close to Bush. But even she said, even him, he had to go down like a line of like a million people and shake their hands and like, there's really nothing you can.
Now,
I don't know.
I will agree with you that I don't think the handshake in and of itself is a scandal. I agree with you. What I think is when you add it up with everything else that happened, it just paints such a very clear picture of who this guy Obama is.
Yeah.
He really is a socialist.
Well, he's out there.
Do you know what I mean? It's not something that is a label from Fox News, from faux news. It's not a fucking label. It is what it is. The guy wants redistribution. He wants this universal health care. He enjoys canoodling with socialists and communists. He views them as something admirable and something for him to aspire to. And I think that's what Americans need to wake up to. The handshake itself, you're right. Maybe he recognized them. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he enjoyed doing it. Maybe he didn't. I'm not going to say about that. But I think when you take it along with everything else that happened and didn't happen, like not going to Thatcher's funeral, that's pretty fucked up. I think we really do have a fucking socialist, all joking aside, a socialist in the White House.
Yeah. I'm convinced he's from Kenya.
And they also had to deport his uncle after he claimed not to know who he was and never having lived with him. And then, you know, and then he finally fessed up, yeah, I lived with him for a couple of years or whatever the fuck it was.
Oh, please.
It's like, is he capable of telling the truth at all?
No, he's gotten really bad. You mean, you know, he you know what happened now? He's not getting a complete pass from the media like he did his first couple of years in. So I think he's taken down to more of the typical politician bullshit because I think he's got stuff he's got to cover up for. I don't know. I mean, but as far as the handshake, I got to tell you, I'm just not that concerned about it. You're going down a line of foreign dignitaries, and some look. Eventually, you're going to run into a couple of douchebags who maybe you don't want to shake the hand of and talk to. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, I hear you. It's just, you know. All right. So okay. So much for the selfie heard around the world, the passing of Nelson Mandela, and other such types of things. Judah Lariam, is there anything else? Oh, actually, you know what? I wanted to read you a line about the handshake that I thought was funny. Our gal, Ann Coulter, had a funny tweet. She tweeted the other day. She goes, when asked why he shook a dictator's hand, Raul Castro said it seemed like the right thing to do.
Very good, Ann.
Subtle, but I thought it was a pretty good line.
Yeah.
But anyway, Judah Lariam. So let's talk about what else is on your mind this week.
Would you like to talk about something that might be sports related?
What's that?
The knockout game.
The knockout game.
Oh, my God.
One of the greatest things to happen in this country.
Not. Oh, my God. This is terrible. Now it's spreading to prisons.
Spreading
to prisons.
What's happening in the prisons?
What's happening in the prisons is now they had a situation at Rikers where they're playing the knockout game,
right.
deliberately targeting female correctional officers.
You mean
officers.
Inmates?
Yeah, inmates.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
Right.
And they're hitting female correctional officers. So,
Is that a knockout game or is that just criminals being themselves?
both. Because unfortunately now they have something to call it.
Right, right.
Before it was just behavior. Now, right, now it's like a stupid. So, I mean, it's becoming like a contest now.
Right, right.
And they're just, and it's terrible. They're just like punching people out. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's horrible. And I mean, but you know, I am just constantly amazed at how liberal media approaches it. So I don't know if we talked about it, but you know, sometimes CNN brings on these police officers or something, and they ask this question. It's like, well, how can you avoid being a victim of the knockout game? And one cop just said, well, when you see a group of black guys heading toward, young black men heading toward you, cross the street and don't wait for them to catch up to you.
Did he really?
Yeah. And the hosts were like, wait a second. You can't say that. And he goes, why not? It's what's happening. It's called playing the odds. You know?
Yeah.
If you see a bunch of white guys dressed in suits carrying stock tables with them, you don't have to worry about the knockout game odds are.
Right.
See a bunch of black guys dressed in hoodies that are like 18 years old, traveling in a pack of six, holding up cell phone cameras ready to snap something. Guess what? You might be the victim of a knockout game. Why not admit that?
Yeah.
You know, does that mean that you're racist if you're looking out for the most likely perpetrator? It's like the same people who say, why do we profile Arabs at airports? Because all the terrorists so far have been Arabs. You know, there's a reason why you target people and you say that's a likely target. That's called profiling. You get to build it off experience.
Yeah. I'm not crazy about just assuming a group of anything is going to be dangerous to
But
me.
If your assumption doesn't impact them and protects you, what's the big deal? So me assuming that five black guys might make me the victim of the knockout game doesn't hurt them. I just cross the street and I don't cross paths with them. I'm not infringing on their rights. I'm not infringing on their ability to earn a living or anything like that.
No, but
I'm just avoiding them.
They're just objecting to your assumption.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about it. I let them object. Fine, object. I don't give a shit. But why would
the problem is a couple of weeks ago I was passed on the streets by a group of elderly, like white looking people who I will assume are Jewish.
Holy shit, did you get set for the knockout game?
Jewish people. And then there was another group that clearly were, I think, like Korean or Asian. And I was just walking by them, and I was like, wow, I feel like I'm on a bus to Atlantic City. But I don't know. Should I be making assumptions about them?
What kind of assumptions would you make?
Yeah, but you see, that's what I mean. See, like, you're automatically assuming that the black kids are going to be violent.
No, what I'm saying and what I think that detective was saying was the highest percentage of perpetrators of the knockout game by far are black teenagers.
Oh, black.
Yeah. And the victims are largely older people. And in New York, you're joking, there was they said there was a concentrated effort that was targeting Jewish seniors in parts of New York.
Right.
So I know you were trying to make a joke out of it, but the truth is, do I assume that every black person is a member of some knockout squad? Of course not. But if it's 10 o'clock at night and I'm walking down the sidewalk and I see five black youths in hoodies walking together as a group, you know what? I'd rather be embarrassed and cross the street rather than stay there, be respectful to them, and find out I was wrong and have the shit kicked out of me.
What you should do is walk. You increase your speed. Don't go across the street.
Yeah.
You increase your speed, and as you walk by, just go, I'm not you.
That works. So, yeah, let's do that then.
Or,
there's a Jew over there.
There's a Jew over there. I saw one around the corner. Or,
I'm really bad at math. I'm really not a Jew.
I don't own anything. There's a lot of ways you can get
it. I made a lot of bad investments. God damn it. Leave me alone.
I'm not a landlord.
I'm not an agent. I didn't steal any rapper's money. I swear it.
I don't know anybody named Murray.
I hate gefilte fish.
But listen.
I love ham.
No, you don't. For that, I'd hit you.
No, but yeah, so I mean.
Look, it's terrible, but look, it's clearly being done. I know it's being done mostly by black kids. And it would be nice to see.
And you know who the victims are, actually? Guilty white liberals.
Who deserve it.
Who deserve it on some level. But no, they're the ones that actually think like what you just said. Why would I make assumptions?
Yeah.
Why would I want to think the worst of people? Those are the people who end up being victims. Men and women. You know, a lot of women, I'm not saying please don't interpret this as saying they deserve it, but a lot of women end up getting sexually assaulted on the streets and raped because at times they don't obey their instincts. Like, if they have an instinct that says, I don't want to mess with that guy, or I want to cross the street, or I'm not going to go down this dark alley if there's a guy following me. A lot of times, I read a report that said, women don't follow their instincts because they're afraid of insulting someone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or profiling, quote-unquote, someone. And I think the same thing is going on with this knockout game. Like, in some cases, people are just, A, unaware of their surroundings. And I think that has a lot to do with the iPods and the iPhones and the Samsungs, that you're just focused on these electronic devices and you're not looking at your surroundings. Like, my head's on a swivel when I walk down the streets in New York.
See, that's actually something
I'm constantly sizing people up.
That's something I've mastered. Even if I'm listening
That's your job.
But even if I'm listening to music,
right,
if I'm walking, I'm still always aware of what's going on. I'm not one of these people who, like, blanks out and doesn't notice that the light has changed and walks into the middle of the traffic.
Right.
I'm always aware.
Right.
And that's tough to do because there are so many distractions. Then you got these idiots on the city bikes who deserve to get hit, and then you get
fuck those city bike drivers. Can I make a point here while we're talking?
Sure.
My jeans just rode up on me. Did you ever get the thing where the crease of your jeans splits your nutsack and it just fucking hurts?
My jeans are splitting my nutsack right now, and it's the greatest feeling in the world.
Really? My jeans are splitting my nutsack right now, and it is killing me. Do you mind if I stand up to adjust it? Do you mind?
It should feel good.
Talk by yourself for a second. I need to adjust that.
All right, go ahead. You go. Adjust. Can we play some adjusting your nutsack music over there, Phil? That would be great. There you go. And see, and I'll give you the play-by-play here, everyone. John
is having trouble. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, all right. Keep talking. He's getting there. He's trying to adjust. Oh, Lord. You know what it's like? It's like every once in a while.
Ow.
Okay, John is he's in real pain. It's like one of those things that every once in a while, one of your scrotum hairs gets too long, and it gets caught in the top of your...
Smell my fingers. Tell me if that smells bad to you.
Oh, just stop it. Get away. Jesus Christ. It smells like something Greek.
Does it smell like onions?
It smells like falafel.
It smells like souvlaki.
Souvlaki.
No, no, come on. That was just theater of the mind. I wasn't really digging my hands in my nutsack, adjusting it, and shoving my fingers under Juno Larry's nose.
He's lying. I want everybody to know that John...
That was just theater of the mind, ladies and gentlemen.
Just rioted his hand into his hands.
Rioted my hands.
Rioted his hands. You like that? So, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, that's my whole thing about the knockout game. I just think... Oh, did you see, though, on the internet, they had a video clip of some dude, black guy, who was trying to play the knockout game on some woman in a mall.
Okay.
And she beat the living shit out of him.
Yeah, there you go.
He tried to attack her, and she somehow caught him in the head or something with a punch.
Wow.
And he kind of, like, crumbled over, and she started kicking him and pulling his hair and shit. And while she was doing that, I guess her boyfriend, who was off getting a Cinnabon or something... says, hey, what? You could see him in the video. Just come up and goes, hey, hon, what's up? What are you doing to this guy? And she said, you know, he tried to play the knockout game on me. The boyfriend loses his mind and fucking starts punting the guy's head while he's on the ground. And there's just like blood pouring out of the guy's head. And then the boyfriend, girlfriend just like ran away. And I'm saying to myself, good. I hope that asshole has suffered some sort of mental damage or brain injury with that shit.
They're probably a little mentally damaged to decide to play the knockout game.
Yeah, or they're assholes. Let's face it, they're assholes.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the guys that videotaped it were part of his crew or something that were trying to get it recorded and make a viral video out of a knockout game.
Yeah.
That's fucking ridiculous. I mean, I don't know if you do, but when we were kids in New York, there were versions of the knockout game being played. I do remember hearing about it when I was like in high school and stuff.
Really?
In the early 80s, you know, late 70s, early 80s, where, but back then you didn't have the instant video, you didn't have the uploads, you didn't have the Twitter and the Facebook sharing. So that shit happened, but you didn't get famous off of it. You didn't get laughs out of it because you weren't recording it for anybody. You just did it. You know what I mean?
I don't remember that.
I definitely remember it because I know somebody who was a victim of the knockout game.
Oh,
and
really?
They literally knocked him the fuck out with one or two punches. He was just walking down the street, minding his own business, and like four guys, and I don't know if it was technically the knockout game or just jumping him, but it was. They snuck up behind him and just shot a punch like over his shoulder,
yeah,
right,
cold cock,
like hammer fist him right in the face from behind, and the kid just crumbled,
Well, what else can you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's on. The thing is, you don't see it coming. And when you do catch it, like that broad in the mall that beat the shit out of the guy, probably saw it coming somehow. There's a woman who probably followed her instincts and said, why is this guy following me? Right. Why is he trying to sneak up on me? And she probably somehow figured it out just before he hit her, and she was able to turn it around on him.
Yeah.
Which, fortunately, not only was it a funny video, but like I said, the guy had the living shit kicked out of him, was bleeding out of his head after the boyfriend got done with him. So good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he's so mentally fucked up and damaged and physically hurt that he has to go on permanent Obamacare or some shit. We can only hope, Judo Larian.
Hopefully he'll contact the riot shop. Yeah. So we can.
Do you have any self-defense tips for people being a master of the Eastern arts and having your own security business? And any sort of tips you can give the listeners out there so they don't become victims of the knockout game?
My tip would be, first off, if you notice, period, that you're being followed, be aware. That's tip number one. Tip number 2 through 10, get a gun.
Just get an old concealed carry.
two through 10. And 11 through 20 is see tips 2 through 10. Get a gun. There's nothing better. You know what? Yeah. If you don't want a big palooka gun, you know what? Get a good old-fashioned Derringer. Just keep a little pussy gun. It hurts just as much as any other gun. It
makes a big noise.
That's it. And you can hide it in your wristwatch.
In your nutsack.
Yeah. Especially when your pants are riding up on your... causing you great discomfort.
Hey, listen, my nutsack is still tender from that fucking vicious jean ball splitting.
Oh, I thought you put a hair dryer down there before.
No.
to unfreeze it because it's 18 degrees here in this.
It is cold in this fucking city.
Yes.
You had trouble getting into the studio tonight? Cold?
A little bit. I did some walking. So
yeah. I'm really weird.
It's crazy, but I'm crazy about walking.
Yeah.
But it is cold out there.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I don't mind cold, and I don't mind snow for Christmas. But then after that, I don't want to see it so much.
You still have that Christmas spirit.
Oh,
you want to see the white snow.
I have it every year.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell cock.
I was going to say, please don't sing.
That too.
You don't like the holidays, do you? Or you don't care?
I used to love them as a youngster when I was younger, but life has conspired to rob me of any Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
I don't hate them. I'll be honest. I don't hate them. I'm just much like Nelson Mandela. I'm totally indifferent to them this time of year.
Yeah, no, not me. I love that.
If I see my kid enjoying himself, that's enough for me. You know, if he's enjoying opening presents or whatever, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Or if I see my wife get some joy out of it, that's cool. I mean, I don't dampen anybody's Christmas. I go along with whatever the family wants to do, you know what I mean? And I do it with a smile on my face.
Right.
But if you ask me deep down, am I getting excited that Christmas is coming or I'm looking forward to it? Probably not.
Oh.
Yeah, probably not.
That's too bad.
It is a shame. I kind of feel bad for myself having lost it.
You got to get back to it. The holidays are great. I love Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because the funny thing for me is it's never really had like a religious meaning
right.
to me.
Yeah.
I've just always loved being with my family and the gifts. And
right.
of course, we're Italian, so we eat like pigs. And
nice.
It's just, you know, my mother makes enough food to feed all the troops in Afghanistan. I mean, it's just insane.
Stromboli. Falafel, baby. Sausage.
Sausage.
Sorry, not Italian. Sausage.
And so we, you know, lots of good food. Lots of good, you know, the best thing to do, even though
Gabagool.
Even pizza, ices. But I got to tell you, it's a great time of year. You have to listen to music.
Yes.
That'll get you back in the spirit.
You know,
you know what's a great Christmas song?
What's that?
Even though he's a weenie.
What's that?
Is Christmas is a Time to Say I Love You by Stupid Billy Squier. That is fantastic. Go on YouTube.
I don't like it.
Oh, come on.
I don't like it.
It's a great song.
I'd rather listen to The Waitresses.
What?
The Christmas rap? I prefer that to Billy Squier.
But it's a rock song.
Yeah.
You're picking a rap song or a rap song.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't like Billy Squier. I'm not
Do you like Larry Allen Hall of Famer?
Yeah. That's such a great visual. I don't even know. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we do these just for ourselves.
Hall of
Fame. You know what? I'm going to hold you to this. That face you just made me of Larry Allen Hall of Fame member,
yeah.
I want that to be part of our new logo for the Riot Show.
Oh God! Yeah, I'll have to figure out how to do that TNR for that right.
Jesus, Larry Sides trying to flash gang signs, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like you have Bell's palsy or something.
I know. I look like I'm trying to say live long and prosper. It's like not even close. Like what am I doing?
Bell's palsy. But I will say something though. I hear you about the music because the one thing my wife does about a week, 10 days before Christmas, the whole house, you just hear the Christmas music.
That's good.
And even though, some of the modern songs are fine, but you know who I have a soft spot in my heart for when it comes to Christmas music?
Well, you were just singing it.
No, but I mean, Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby. I knew you were going to say that.
I love that rich, deep baritone. Yeah.
Listen to his music. Yeah. I used to have
I'll
albums.
I'll be home for Christmas.
The ones he sings in Latin are fantastic.
Actually, The Little Drummer Boy is probably my favorite Christmas song.
That's a great song.
I don't know why. It just
Jingle
really,
Bell Rock.
That's good. Yeah.
Christmas is the time to say I love you. That's a great song.
It's hot.
Listen to your filthy rap song.
Okay.
But there's a lot of great songs.
Little Drummer Boy.
Even Hall & Oates have a, believe
Do
it or not. Yeah, they have a
Christmas. I never liked Hall & Oates.
No, but you don't have to. It's a Christmas song.
Okay, gotcha.
John. When you're talking with stuff like this, it doesn't matter. I know people who don't like Bing Crosby.
I know.
But what I meant was I'm
not a Hall & Oates fan. I don't like
their
sound.
You don't have to be.
Yeah,
I'm not a Billy Squier fan, but I like that
you
song.
You like that song. No, okay, fair enough.
But you listen to music.
Yeah.
Music will do it for you. It's very important to listen to music. I mean, let me tell you, the people I know in this world who don't listen to music, they tend to be unhappy people. Listen to music.
Or Jesus freaks.
Well, that's the same thing. They tend to be very anal and boring. And
music is the devil's work.
It's yucky.
It's stupid. It has all these sexual connotations.
That's how the devil gets in your mind.
That's right.
And then the next thing you know, your pants are riding up against your crotch.
It's all Satan's work. And the next thing you know, you're listening to this filthy rock music and you're scratching your asshole and tugging on your nutsack.
And instead of going to a church 2 minutes away, you drive 4 hours out of your way to go.
But, thank you, Sister Eugenia. Again,
if I had a ruler, I'd crack you.
Again,
one.
Sometimes just for ourselves.
Just for ourselves. It's a joke selfie.
Yeah, but Sister Eugenia, blast from the past.
Yeah. What would she say about Christmas?
She'd say you should follow around on Christmas, you fucking heathens.
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible and save your soul, stupid.
So?
Christmas is when Jesus' birthday rolls around. How would you like it if nobody celebrated your birthday?
Well, if that's a problem, then tear down the church.
Oh, shut up! You're nothing but a filthy heathen, corrupting the minds of the youth.
Yay!
This is horrible. Bend over so I can hit you with a ruler.
Let me snap that ass. Well, listen to music. It's the best
thing. I'm not listening to your filthy Satan music.
Enough. Sound like Dana Carvey.
Shut up.
So,
praise him.
Get a tree.
Yes, we do get a tree.
Get a tree, yeah. Decorate it.
No, we go. My wife especially is into Christmas.
You know what I do? Yeah. Listen, you get the tree and you put the lights on it.
Yes.
And you turn out all the lights in the room.
Yes.
And you only have just the lights from the tree.
I should have you over to my house. You would really like it.
You just, I do this every
day. Come over. Come over. We'll kill a bird.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. We put up a big tree. The lights, like you said, lights. The room lights turned off. Just have the tree lights on. Yep. The music's going. My wife even gets that pine scent for the whole house, you know, the candles and everything. The nice dinners, everything. It's just, you're right. It does sadden me. I've just lost that Christmas.
Yeah, I understand. It happens to a lot of people.
And I'm amazed you still have it because, like, you don't have kids. And I know a lot of people who maintain the Christmas tradition simply for their kids.
And yeah, but that's bad because then that means you're really just doing it
for the kids. Yeah,
you're not getting anything out of it.
Right.
You have to realize I'm very close with my family.
I was going to say, I commend you, actually.
20 of them, you know.
No, I was going to say, I commend you because you don't have children.
Right.
And yet you're
that I know of.
You're a much better Christian than I am when it comes to Christmas, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, my family goes all out for Thanksgiving and
Christmas. Right, right, right.
New Year's is kind of dropped off the charts. We don't really care about that.
Yeah,
but we get together, but it's, you know, it's counting down. And now Dick Clark, you know, unfortunately, he's not 100%.
Yeah. He's dead. I would say that's less than 100%.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a speech thing going. So,
no, but he's dead. Died.
Oh, did he die?
Yeah, I thought you were fucking with me. He died last year.
Oh, he doesn't do the countdown anymore.
No, he died.
Countdown to death. I forget.
When he was alive, that 10-second countdown took like 40 seconds because of his
because of the
stroke he had. Yeah,
well, yeah, but even before that,
yeah.
He was fine.
10. Ten.
Four. Yeah, but I always loved it. We used to watch it.
Dick Clark's rocking.
Yeah.
New Year's.
No, but only I would only watch like the last 3 minutes, just to watch him do the countdown.
No, well, most people do that.
You
too,
know, and it's amazing. You get like 500,000 people in Times Square, and none of them are New Yorkers.
Yeah,
there's nobody in Times Square from New York except the cops who are watching them.
I'll say it. I'm a typical New Yorker. I've never been to a Times Square New Year's Eve.
No, neither have I.
You would think I would have done it once.
No, but nobody from the city.
Who the fuck wants to go stand with 500,000 people in the freezing cold
to count down the New Year's?
And by the way, ever since 9/11, they are herded cattle in Times Square. Yeah. You're only allowed to walk along a certain path. All the buildings are closed, so you can't go in and out of the buildings.
But some of the people get there early in the day. Like, where do you go to the bathroom? What do you do?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have to go, what do you do?
You piss in a cup. Or piss in your beer bottle.
Yes.
Why would it be different than any other night at an Irish bar?
So, no, but, and Easter, sometimes we get together, but that's not such a big one.
Yeah, for you, it's clearly just the family gathering. It's an excuse to hang out with your family and get a lot, you know, get the extended family together and, you know.
I love seeing them.
Yeah.
I mean, in my family, we kind of do it anyway, but the holidays have the extra. Yeah. No, but I love Christmas. I love this time of year.
Yeah, like I said, I used to, and I wish I still had that feeling.
I did some shopping today. I was at Brooks Brothers.
Oh, yeah?
And I was wishing them...
Buy yourself a gift?
Merry Christmas. No.
Yeah.
I never self-buy.
Really?
In the Christmas...
Do you masturbate?
Well, I do that all the time.
Nice.
That's, you know, sometimes
that's the best gift you can give yourself.
When I was a kid playing, when I was playing hockey growing up, I used to take penalties just so I could get in the box and jack off for 2 minutes. And then get back out on the ice. Give somebody a high stick. Go in the box, play with my high stick, and get back out. It's very disturbing behavior.
Checking off.
So that's my Christmas story. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Well, you might be the only person on the planet that can tie in Christmas, hockey, and jerking off all in the same sort of sentence.
You brought up jerking off.
But only with the most pure of intentions.
Yes. There's nothing wrong with it. Masturbation is self-love.
Nice.
That's all it is. It's just loving yourself.
It's also self-jizzing.
It's a protein.
Do you have a special jizz rag?
It's a protein shake.
Do you have a special jizz rag you use?
Yeah, right in my closet.
So it's the... you know, it's the same one you use over and over again?
No, it's
is it like a worn t-shirt that you feel comfortable in?
Yeah, it's a t-shirt that I don't use anymore. If I have a t-shirt...
Not
that
a sock?
No, I never understood that.
The jizzing into a sock?
That's weird. I've never done that. If I'm going to do it, like sometimes I find like some t-shirt that I haven't worn in like 10, it's in there. And like instead of using it as a dust rag, I'll just pop off and...
Just rub one out in there?
Yeah, just rub one out. Keep
did
it
you ever do
there?
That and forget you did it and then you have to throw on the t-shirt in a hurry and you're like, oh.
No, oh God. But what I have done is I've thrown in the laundry one time, but it still has that orangey, like, circular shit that it gets
on. Ew. Orangey?
You know, that
brownish, orangey? What the fuck are you splooching out of your cock? What's orange about cock?
I'm colorblind, so... Oh. No, but if you splooge on it, it gets like a tannish, whatever the color, like the color of your microphone. Oh, I'm sorry.
The color of my windsock here.
That's right, sock boy.
Oh, my God.
You know, that tannish, rusty looking.
I'm just going to let you sink on this one. Go ahead.
Sink what?
Describe your jizz.
What am I, the only person who jerks off?
Is it chunky?
No, it's not chunky.
Smooth?
It's good, clean.
What's it taste like?
Faggot.
That's homophobic. Stop it.
That was a good one. Of course, my answer is, I don't know, because when I jerk off, it's in your face. Or as I told that one guy, as I said, no, I wasn't.
I don't want to hear from you. I know what you used to do to girls. You forget. We know each other way too long.
No, I was talking about some rude guy that I had to deal with one time. And he was asking me why what I was doing.
In his face?
I was doing in this booth. I said, I wasn't doing anything. Well, I was. And I said, I was calling your mother's 900 number. I ran out of quarters. I didn't
get that at all. Where'd you steal it from?
It's from a movie.
Give it back to him.
You blow. Can we get off mothers?
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
I just got off of yours.
Oh, we're getting silly here. All right, Judalarium.
Speaking of silly.
What about it?
The Pope is the man of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Tying in religion and the holiday.
Well, did you hear who was up for that man of the year?
Times Miley man Cyrus.
Of the year? Miley Cyrus, Eric Snowden.
Snowden. Well, Snowden makes sense. Because you have to remember, the criteria is the person who affected world events, either positively or negatively, does not matter.
Right.
They had the impact.
Right.
The emphasis is the impact.
Right.
And he would have to be considered. Look what he's done, governments.
Well, yeah,
so
but
he's up there. The Pope is up there because he's changing things. He's revolutionary.
And he also just leads way too many people. Like, what's it, a billion Catholics worldwide or something?
1.5,
yeah. So, I mean, just being in charge of that many people and changing doctrine or changing attitudes.
No, but it's him. Because, in other words, the last guy, the crowd that they have, they never thought for 2 seconds of giving him man of the year.
No.
He was just like
What are they giving him a man of the year for hiding pedophiles?
Yeah. Come on. This guy's different. He's taking them to task on things like that. He lives in an apartment that's not much bigger than this. And this he's not in the Vatican.
Yeah.
No, he lives in some tiny little apartment.
Oh, good for him.
They said that when people aren't around at like 2 o'clock in the morning, he goes out and he orders a pizza. he gets a little fun and some spaghetti.
Yeah.
But he takes care of like the poor.
Yeah.
And he goes out and he takes care
of them. So I will admit one thing. I don't agree with the Pope on a lot of things, like when he came out with his encyclical or his opinion against capitalism.
Well, like,
no surprise.
Not really bad though. He really just said, "Don't be like a slave to money." He didn't really.
No, but he also said that it was a mechanism for enslaving more people. He was harsh against it. If you read the whole thing, don't read just the excerpts. If you read the whole thing, he really equated.
I did. I just didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, I think it was, but it's also expected.
But that's expected.
Yeah, yeah. No,
Look, for all intents and purposes, Jesus was a hippie communist.
I admit it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree. And if I was alive at the time of Jesus, I'd be calling him a commie fag and like...
You would have been one of the Romans.
Yeah, definitely.
Get this fucking Jew out of here. Yeah. You would have been like Life or Brian. Well, somebody crucify this son of a bitch already.
Look, yes, I'm being honest with myself.
Nice round number.
Yes. But, so that wasn't, unexpected for him to come out anti-capitalism and redistribution of wealth, and he's pissed off about income inequality and all that shit. So I kind of expected from him. But I also have to admit, like, I think a lot of his approaches are refreshing. You know, the fact, like you said, he really does seem to care about the poor, that he really does seem to care about the sick and the infirm.
And he's living very modestly.
Yes, living very modestly.
And he doesn't use the Pope Mobile.
Right.
He's just going around in some 1981 Buick or some shit I was reading.
Well, Pope John Paul did until he got shot, right? Yeah. I mean, he used to ride around in an open car until he got shot, and that's where they invented the Pope Mobile for him, you know, because he got shot by that, who was that, Turkish?
The guy from Turkey.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
who he forgave.
Well, that was also kind of expected, you know?
Well...
Like, how would it be if the Pope came out and said, "No, I don't forgive him. Fuck that son of a bitch.
Fuck that fucking Arab. Fuck him. Fuck his mother and the other.
Fuck that Muslim cocksucker.
It's a fake religion. Fuck you."
Now, that I would have respected more.
That's bullshit. This is the only real religion. What the fuck are you talking about, the Alibaba?
Holy Father, do you forgive the man who tried to kill you?
No. Fuck you. Fuck you in the Mecca riot. Fuck you.
Fuck you in the year.
Johnny Muhammad. Fuck you.
Fuck you, Larry Assad.
Larry Assad.
Salam. Salam.
Malaikum.
Aslakum.
Salami sandwich.
Camel toe.
No.
Yeah, but yeah, I fully expected him to forgive his attacker. Yeah, he did. He had to.
He had to.
But so I actually don't have a problem with the Pope being the man of the year. I don't.
Yeah.
I really don't. Because Snowden, or Julian Assange for that matter, they had impact, but their impact was really targeted against the U.S. It wasn't really worldwide.
But it had worldwide ramifications. You got
to
a
some
lot
extent,
of government,
yeah,
you know.
But, I mean, look, they should have been nominated, I agree. But I don't know if they... Like, I guess if they won Man of the Year, I wouldn't have complained too much. And I think the Pope is... Like, the one that was totally ridiculous was Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, why,
the fuck
why
was
she
doing that?
Yeah.
Why? Did she blow the editors at Time? What happened?
Why would she be on it?
Yeah. Did she flash them some fucking teenage snatch? What's going on with that?
Yeah.
See, that's the type of shit that totally throws into disrepute the entire process.
The only problem with the real process is it's really become a kind of a gimmick for Time.
To sell magazines.
Because nobody really reads it anymore.
Nobody reads magazines anymore.
Well, yeah, but in particular, Time was big in its time, but it's not a big deal anymore. The problem I have with it is it's a little gimmicky.
Right.
And, you know, you have to pick somebody who everybody knows.
Right.
Like, I could give you the name of some researcher who made some, like, real advancements on cancer.
Right.
Which would help everybody in the world.
Right.
But nobody knows who the fuck he is. So,
Unless they became a celebrity of some sort on their own, right? And, yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, the only way that somebody like that is going to be well-known is if Miley Cyrus twerks on him.
Yeah. If Miley Cyrus, like, sucks his dick in public, then, yeah, finally.
I think they decided to pick her because she also twerked Santa Claus.
By the way, she is the most pathetic twerker. Like, twerking is for black chicks and Puerto Rican chicks with big asses.
Oh, come on.
Seriously, that's what twerking... Who invented twerking?
Who invented voguing?
No, but seriously, isn't twerking something that's coming out of the black culture and the Latino culture in this country?
Twerking?
Twerking. You know, shaking the ass up and down.
But they have mushy asses. I don't know if that's definitely... I don't know if that originated there.
I really think it did.
Oh, did it?
I'm not joking. I think it did.
Are you accusing Michelle Obama of supporting Trump?
No.
Starting it?
No.
Yeah, sure you are. Why don't you admit that?
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah,
but Miley Cyrus has no body to her. Did you notice? I mean, do you think she's attractive?
She's a tiny little...
She's like a man boy, girl boy, whatever. She looks like a Filipino boy. It's I don't dig it at all.
She's got to get rid of that hair.
The hair.
It's so short, it's boyish.
She needs to buy some boobs.
Yeah, well, she's a tiny little thing.
I mean, yeah, she's underdeveloped, is what I'm saying.
She's really proportionate for how puny she is.
I honestly think that she appeals to pedophiles. I honestly do. I'm not saying she's a pedophile. I'm saying I think her look appeals to pedophiles.
I just don't understand that. Okay.
Like, I have no breast and a flat ass, but I'm somehow considered hot.
I could be Asian.
All right, Judah Larriam, we're getting near that point where things are getting silly. So before we sign off, let me throw out our little bit of pimp info there. Check us out, thatriotshow.com. Go to Facebook, facebook.com/thatriotshow. Go to twitter.com/thatriotshow. You can also find us on YouTube. Search for That Riot Show. Go to SoundCloud, soundcloud.com. Search for That Riot Show. And, of course, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Player FM. Anywhere great podcasts are found, just search for That Riot Show. Until next week, when we come up with more boring topics to share with you, this is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larriam. Peace. Peace, nigga.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judah Larriam. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.